All right, if you could remain standing, take your Bibles and turn them over to the Acts of the Apostles, Acts chapter number 10. Acts chapter number 10, if you've been here with us for the previous weeks, we have been in the Lordship. Acts chapter number 10, say, preacher, where is the Lordship at? It is located right here. The Lordship, amen. Acts chapter number 10. And we have been looking at how you and I respond to the Lordship of Christ. Acts chapter number 10, we're going to start reading in verse number 9. Acts chapter 10, verse number 9. And we have talked about this over the past several weeks. We're going to see another way you and I can respond to the Lordship of Christ. Say, preacher, what does Lordship mean? It means the unlimited authority of a sovereign ruler. It also means the one who has power or authority over something. That is God's authority over you and I, Lordship. And we have talked about the problems in the Lordship. We found out the problem is that many people want Jesus as Savior, but not as Lord. And then we saw the perplexity with the Lordship. We saw that many think they have Jesus as Savior, and they don't have him as Lord either, but they think they have him. And now we've been looking at the possibilities in the Lordship. And we saw that there's three basic ways you and I can respond to the Lordship of Christ. And the first one is willingly, voluntarily, which we saw last week. What happened? Isaiah said, here am I, send me. Today we're going to look at Peter, another of God's servants that we know is a child of God. And he is going to respond to the Lordship of Christ religiously and ignorantly. By the way, you might as well raise your hand right now. We have all responded this way at one time or another. Amen. All of us have responded the first way, willingly and voluntarily. You're not saved if you didn't respond that way. Amen. And so it's not a bad thing to respond ignorantly and religiously, but it needs to be corrected. It needs to be corrected. Why? It means that we don't have the knowledge that we should have about Almighty God. And we're going to see that today. A child of God can be religiously and ignorantly in the Lordship. Verse number 9, Acts chapter number 10 says, on the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon a housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending unto him, and as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. There came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. And I want you to notice this next verse and read it with me. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Pay attention to what Peter said in verse 14. But Peter said, not so, and Lord, at the same time. Let me give you this. If Jesus is your Lord, you cannot say not so to him. And if you say not so to him, then he is not Lord of your life. End of story. End of story. If he's Lord of your life, you don't tell a Lord no. And if you tell him no, he's not your Lord. Somebody say amen. The book of Acts is a transition book here, and the things that are going on in this book is they're transitioning from the law to grace, from an outward law to an inward leading of the Holy Spirit, from the temple to the church, and from the priest to the pastor, from the Sabbath or Saturday to Sunday. The purpose of this book is bringing all of Jesus' disciples together into the local churches by the power of the Holy Ghost and giving them order and structure so that they can operate to win the world for Christ. The Jews were bought into the local church in Acts chapter 2. The Samaritans were bought into the church in Acts chapter number 8. Now in chapter number 10, God is trying to bring the Gentiles in. Say, who are the Gentiles? They was just about anybody else that wasn't a Jew. And as he's about to bring them in, by the way, you and I are Gentiles. We're not Jew. Amen. Neither are we Samaritans. And so he's trying to bring them in chapter number 10. And as he's trying to get Peter ready to go to them, Peter says, not so, Lord. You cannot be serious about this. God ever told you something to do and you said, not so, Lord? Whether you said it religiously or ignorantly, I know I have. I'm glad God is a patient God. I'm glad he works with us. The Bible says this was done 3 times. Now, if you recall, Peter denied the Lord 3 times. Peter must have this problem with repetition. Amen. He must need that in his life. We're going to look at Peter's life today and see how he responded to the lordship of Christ ignorantly and religiously and figure out some things for ourselves so that you and I don't get in the same predicament when God calls us to reach somebody that doesn't look like us. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Lord, thank you for the examples of scripture that we have, how Peter is being tasked to go and win the Gentiles, to bring them into the local church. And Lord, how we too have the command to go out and bring people into the local church. God, help us not to say not so, and Lord, when you lay a soul on our hearts. Help us not to say not so, Lord, because I have never, when you want to do a new thing in our lives. Lord, it may not be about reaching people. It may be about a job that you'd have us to do. It may be about a child that you want us to talk to. It may be about a neighbor that you want us to witness to. It may be about an activity that you want us to get involved with, Lord. It may be a myriad of different things that you want us to do. And God, if you're truly our Lord, help us not to say not so. Help us to fall under the sovereign hand of Almighty God and do that which you request of us and say, here am I, send me. Pray that by the time this is over, Lord, if someone has not trusted Christ as Savior, that's what this is all about, trying to get the Gentiles saved. And I pray that that man, that woman, that boy or girl may say Jesus Christ high and lifted up. They may see his death for them, his burial for them, and his resurrection for them. They would understand they must be born again. And except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Speak to our hearts this morning, Lord. Instruct us from your word. And help us to leave differently than when we came in. We thank you, we love you, and praise you for what you've done, what you continue to do, Lord. Use this time now. Fill me with your spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. Mrs. Dawson has our special today.
Today a man is somewhere proclaiming God's good news, winning families to Jesus all around his neighborhood. He tells them that God is able to make their house a home. He wants to win his world for Christ, but he can't do it alone. But each one can reach one. As we follow after Christ, we all can lead one. We can lead one to our Savior. Then together we can tell the world that Jesus is the way. If we each one. The message is unchanging. Go ye into all the world and share the love of Jesus. far away or door to door. You see, just like somebody told you that Jesus loves you so. We must tell someone who will tell someone until the whole world knows. For each one can reach one. As we follow after Christ, we all can lead one. We can all lead somebody to our Savior. Then together we can tell our world that Jesus is the way. If we each one reach one. So will you go out and labor? Will you hold high your light? One by one and two by two, we can win our world for Jesus Christ. Each one can reach one. As we follow after Christ, we all can lead one. We can all lead somebody to our Savior. And together we can tell our world that Jesus is the way. If we each one reach one.
Amen. Each one reach one. I couldn't think of a better song to go along with the message today, amen, than that song. God wants each one of us to reach someone else. That's what he's trying to do in Peter's life, trying to get him to reach out and go outside of himself and go beyond. I guess I need to turn this on, but I'm ashamed, amen. Trying to go beyond the mic without a mic, amen. And trying to get him to reach out to someone else. And talking about the Lordship of Christ, if Jesus is your Lord, you've got to do what he says. Amen. I was in the military. And when I was in the military, if my boss said go, guess what I did? I went. I didn't sit there and say, well, you know, sir, I have a better place that I can go. You know, I'd have got thrown in jail for that. Insubordination. When the commander gave an order and said, you are going to Germany, guess where I went? I didn't say, well, you know, Spain is a better place to go. How about Jamaica? How about Australia? No, you're going to Germany. I don't care where it was that they told me to go. I went because they had authority over me, and that's what a Lord does. He has authority over you, and God is sovereign, and he is. He's got authority over your life, and he does. The question is whether you have empowered him as Lord in your life and obey him willingly. Because if you don't obey him willingly and voluntarily, you can go as a prisoner of war. I don't want to be a POW. Amen. Well, you better hear him, I send me. Guess what? When your children don't come to you and you command them, what do? You correct action. You take corrective action. By the way, if you don't, the law will. Amen. Say, well, preacher, we live in a society now where you can't do, well, you can do what God asked you to do, and you can do it biblically, and it won't be a problem. God has got to be your Lord, and you've got to make him your Lord voluntarily. Peter has a problem here today. And Peter has the same problem that you and I oftentimes have. God is trying to do a new thing by bringing a different people into the local church called Gentiles. all Peter's life, he's known is that we're not supposed to mess with the Gentiles. They are unclean. They are dirty. They are the enemy. They will contaminate us. And so therefore, Peter was doing things based on the Old Testament law and not on New Testament love, and finds himself saying not so and Lord at the same time. By the way, while Isaiah exhibited a sound mind, we saw last time to the Lordship of Christ by saying, here am I, send me. Peter exhibits a stagnant mind. He's unwilling to move. Y'all ever smelt a stagnant water? It smells pretty rotten, doesn't it? Things that are stagnated don't move. They don't have any kind of good fragrance. It's not flowing. It's not clean. It's not fresh. It just stays in one spot. You know the worst thing about stagnant water? Mosquitoes like to multiply in it. And you know what's the worst thing about mosquitoes? They bite bald people on the head. And I don't like that. So I try not to keep any stagnant water around my house, because it breeds mosquitoes, and mosquitoes bite my bald, and I don't like that. I'm sure they bite you too. Say, preacher, why did they bite you in your head? Because it's a good landing strip. Got nothing else up there. And they like to touch down. And we ain't talking football here. Amen. So Peter, while Isaiah had a sound mind to the Lordship of Christ, hear my sin me, Peter has a stagnant mind. He's unwilling to change. How many Christians you know like that? They're unwilling to change. Well, we've always done it this way. My father did it. My father, his father before him did it. His father before him did it that way. And we're going to do it this way. Why? Because we've always done it that way. Well, did it ever occur to you that what you're doing is wrong? You know, 1 + 1 is not 7. Well, my father did it. It must be right. No, your father could have been wrong. What am I saying here? Stagnant mind. Peter said, not so, Lord. I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. By the way, let me give you this. The three Christians that we're going to deal with, all three deal with reaching people. Isaiah deals with reaching people. Peter deals with reaching people. And the one that we're going to talk after this is dealing with reaching people. Why is that so? Because God specializes in reaching people. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Why are all three dealing with people? God is interested in people of all shapes and sizes and colors. It matters not. He died for everybody. So all three of these, Peter now has his turn. What was Peter doing here? Peter was telling God, no, I will not eat of those things. I never have. I never will. Never tell God never. My wife said, I'll never marry a preacher. And she never did. I wasn't a preacher when she married me. But guess what I became after we got married? Hey, I said I would never have a mess in my house if I have kids. But guess what I got when I got kids? I said I would never have a mess like this. They're going to have one room to play in, and that's it. Everybody's going to have 2-3 toys. That's it. Then McDonald's comes out and gives you a toy every time you go shop there. I said, never will I have a mess with my house when the kids are around. And guess what I got? Never say never to God. You'd be surprised what may happen. I said, I'm never going to have any disobedient kids. They're going to obey me the first time. Then I just had to think about myself. Anytime did I obey my parents the first time? What makes me so special? And guess what? You guessed it. They didn't obey them the first time. That's it. I'm trading you in for a new kid. That's it. No. What am I saying? Never tell God never. Peter said here, I've never. Notice what he says. And then, rise, Peter, kill and eat. Peter said, not so, Lord. I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. In other words, he's saying, they're not ceremoniously right for me. These are animals that we're not supposed to touch. I've never done that, Lord, and I'm not going to do it now. However, it wasn't about food. It was about reaching out to the Gentiles. Reaching people that were totally different from the Jews. Why do some people say, not so, and Lord, at the same time like Peter did? That's what this was all about. First of all, let me give you this. Some say, not so in Lord, religiously or ignorantly. Religiously has the idea of doing something routinely, regularly, or ritually, but not always righteously with the right relationship. Say that again. Religiously has the idea of doing something routinely, regularly, or ritually, but not always righteously with the right relationship. Doing something religiously is not always a bad thing. By the way, you come to church religiously. You read your Bible religiously. You memorize scripture religiously. You ought to tithe religiously. I'm getting an amen on that. I say, well, not so, Lord. I've never tithed, amen. Well, you need to start, amen. What am I saying here? Religiously has the idea of doing something routinely, regularly, or ritually, but not always righteously or with a relationship, right relationship, but it's not always a bad thing. Church attendance is good. Bible reading is good. Bible study is good. Bible memorization is good. Tithing is good. Somebody say amen. But is it righteously done for the right reason? Not always. These are all good things and should be done religiously, but we also need to understand why we are doing it, or it will be done ignorantly, which leads me to my next point. Peter is responding to the Lordship of Christ religiously and ignorantly. Religiously because this is the way we've always done it. This is the law. Ignorantly because God is doing a new thing. He's changing some things. Although he's not changing anything, he's implementing that which he already said he would in the Old Testament. He told them in Isaiah, I'm bringing the Gentiles in. He told them in Jeremiah, I'm bringing the Gentiles in. He told them and he told them and he told them, I'm bringing them in. And he's about to bring them in. And Peter says, no, we don't want them. Haven't we gone through enough segregation already? No, we don't want them. What am I saying here? These are all good things and should be done religiously, but we also need to know and understand why we're doing them, or they will be done ignorantly. Ignorantly has the idea of doing something without knowledge. When we don't know God's will and we don't know God's word as we should, we're ignorant of knowing what God has required of us, and that's not a bad thing, but God doesn't want you to stay ignorant. By the way, ignorance is not a bad word. We look at it like, you can't call me ignorant, but do you know it? No, well, you're ignorant. It just means without knowledge. Somebody may have called you ignorant. They were not being mean to you, I hope. You're just an ignorant little child. It means you have not knowledge. There are better words you can use. You can say you're without knowledge. But we like ignorant because that's a derogatory term to it. You're ignorant. So they said back in the South, you ignorant. Sounds like indignant, but it's ignorant, they say. Ignorant. So when we don't do God's will and word as we should, we are ignorant of not knowing what God requires of us. You got your finger in Acts chapter 10. Hold it there and flip over to Acts chapter 17. What should be done with ignorance? Exactly what God says about it in Acts chapter 17. He's speaking to a crowd here in Greece. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, they were worshiping an unknown God and they were doing it ignorantly. Notice verse 23 in Acts chapter number 17. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye, what's that word? Ignorantly worship. He said, you're worshiping this without knowledge. He said, him declare I unto you. Guess who Paul declared unto them? The Lord Jesus Christ. And what does he say about that ignorance? Go down to verse number 30. And the times of this, what's that word? Ignorance, God winked at. He said, look, you know, God turned a blind eye to that at one time. He said, but now commandeth all men everywhere to do what? Repent, change your mind, change your heart, change your mind about Jesus Christ, change your mind about who he is, change your mind about what he's done, change your mind, which changes your heart, which changes your direction. Now you're going to God, not away from God. He said, you were ignorant about this, and God turned a blind eye, but he said, you are without excuse now, you need to repent. What am I saying here? When you and I come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, we have got two choices, accept him or reject him. Amen. I agree. Ignorantly or religiously. Sometimes we end up telling God, not so, Lord, when things are unfamiliar to us. We don't understand what God's doing. We say, not so, that's unfamiliar to me. It's uncomfortable. Oh, God, not so. You most definitely could not mean to me to tithe. I'm uncomfortable with tithing right now. It's going to put me in a bind right now. It's not going to let me do what I want to do. Did God change what he said? No. But we become uncomfortable with it. Why? We're ignorant of what God says in the Word of God. And we end up saying, not so, Lord, to tithing, to church attendance, to membership, to things of that nature. We say, I don't understand it. It's unfamiliar. It makes me uncomfortable. It's hard, or it seems wrong, so not so, Lord. Why do you think people date unsaved people when they're saved? They're saying, not so, Lord. It's hard. You want me to give up that relationship? That's hard. Not so, Lord. We're ignorant. But God didn't want us to stay that way. In his mind, Peter thought he was doing what was right by the law of God. He did not know God was fulfilling Old Testament prophecy and bringing the Gentiles in. Go back to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. We as God's people oftentimes come up and we do things ignorantly or religiously because we don't understand. And Peter's doing the same thing. Notice Acts chapter 28, because he explains what God showed him. Verse 28, and he said unto them, and what's going on here? Cornelius, the Gentile, in chapter 10 and verse number 1, was from Italy. He was a Gentile who had a vision. The vision said, call Peter. Peter will come and tell you what you need to do. At the same time, Peter was in another location getting the word from God saying, I want you to rise, kill and eat. That's talking about going down to people that are not like you, that you're not used to going to. And after Peter gets this message, these guys come and they get Peter. And they say, God told us to come get you. Peter goes over there and this is what Peter discovers to them. Verse 28, verse 27, as he talked with them, he went in and found many that were come together. He said unto them, ye know how that it is an, notice this, unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. Now pause there for a minute. He said, it's unlawful for me as a Jew to come to you because you're from another nation. Now, if you can recall, before Jesus left, what did he say? Go ye therefore and teach what? All nations. So Peter, you evidently forgot the memo that I gave you. That was old. This is new. And I want you to go because they are part of what I'm doing. Because he had said, go to all nations. And Peter said, we're not supposed to do this. Most of it says that there. But God has showed me, amen. Sometimes God just got to open our eyes. He just got to open our eyes. This is what you ought to do. Hey, folks, when it came to tithing, God had to open up my eyes. Hey, when it came to soul winning, God had to open up my eyes. When it came to doing things right by the Bible, God had to open up my eyes. My wife could talk to me till she was blue in the face. Don't you think we ought to be tithing? I think you ought to leave me alone. Don't you think we ought to do this? God said so. I think you just ought to get on my back. But when God shows me, guess what? I'm not saying not so, Lord, anymore. Why? My ignorance is gone now. He said, God showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean, therefore came I unto you without gainsaying. He said, I didn't monkey around when I got that. As soon as I was sent for, I asked therefore for what intent ye have sent for me. Cornelius begins to tell him of the vision that he had. And after hearing the vision that he had, Peter comes back there and preaches Jesus Christ to him, and that crowd gets saved. Amen. Notice what he says down there in that verse number 34. Then Peter opened his mouth, 33. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, thou hast well done that thou art come, as Cornelius speaking. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of what? Persons. There's no big eyes, no little U's. You're not better than me, I'm not better than you. You're not better than the person across the street. The person across the street not better than you. The drug pusher's no better than the president. The president's no better than the person from China. Nobody is no bigger than anybody else. Everybody needs to be saved. Amen. And so God had called Peter. Peter said, not so. Peter said, oh, what is going on here? Now I understand. They're part of the all nations. They're part of the all nations. No respecter of persons. Notice, don't It says down in verse number 42. He commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be judge of quick and dead. To him, speaking about Jesus Christ, give all the prophets witness. He said all the prophets talked about him. That through his name, what am I saying? There's a new thing coming on here. God said, this is fulfilled prophecy. All the prophets talked about it. They all were looking forward to this day that I am here with you as a Gentile. They were looking forward to that. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, Jesus Christ, whosoever believeth in him shall have remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard. What am I saying? They got saved. They got saved. What is down there in verse 45? And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with it, the Peter. Because it on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. The other Jews that were there looked and said, whoa, my, so they got saved just like us. The Holy Spirit came on them. Woo! What's going on here? You're not special, Jew. Well, you are, but not when it comes to salvation. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon his name. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And they were astonished because the Holy Ghost came on them. Many times are we guilty of responding to the Lordship of Christ with not so in Lord because we don't understand how God is trying to move in our lives with other people. Aren't you glad that somebody that came to you didn't put up a religious law and said, I can't talk to you because you're not like me? Aren't you glad that someone didn't say, well, because you're black, I can't talk to you. Because you're white, I can't talk to you. Because you're a man, I can't talk to you. Because you're a girl, I can't talk to you. Because you're a boy, I can't talk to you. Because of where you grew up, I can't talk to you. Because of where you live, I can't talk to you. Because of how you sound, I can't talk to you. Because you got hair, I can't talk to you. Because you got no hair, I can't talk to you. Because you're old, I can't talk to you. I can't talk to you because I'm glad that God said, tear that junk down. I came for everybody to be saved. Peter, get the same memo that Isaiah got. Isaiah said, here am I, send me. He had a sound mind. Peter, you saying, not so, Lord, for I have never. He said, you got a stagnant mind, and you need to get some water flowing. Amen. Notice Peter was guilty at Antioch also. Very, very quickly, go over to Galatians chapter number 2. This wasn't the first time Peter had this issue. I'm going to give you this and give you a few quick points and we're going to be done. What am I saying here? We can respond to Christ's lordship religiously or ignorantly. Galatians chapter number 2, Peter here is being referenced by Paul. And Paul had to deal with him about this same issue. Galatians chapter 2, notice verse number 11. But when Peter was come to Antioch, what's in Antioch, Gentiles? Paul, withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. What was he to be blamed for, Paul? For before that certain came from James is in Jerusalem, he did eat with who? The Gentiles. This is Peter. But when they were come, who's the they? The Jews from Jerusalem. He withdrew himself and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision or from Jerusalem or the Jews. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him. Who him? Peter. Insomuch that Barnabas, who is Barnabas? The son of consolation, also was carried away with their dissimulation. Preacher, what's dissimulation? A fancy word for being a hypocrite. You say one thing and do the other. Amen. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of the Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by faith of Christ and not by works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. You know what Paul just told Peter? How come you're living after the law, trying to make them live after the law, when you know we're saved by grace through faith? Get off of that junk, Peter. Stop what you're doing. Aren't you glad for people like Paul that tell it like it is? Say, as long as they don't tell it to me. Amen. Paul doesn't care. He's like, look, I'm going to tell you, I don't care if you are an apostle. You're wrong.
You're wrong. What am I saying here? Peter's got this problem doing things religiously and ignorantly. We've always done it that way, and so that's why I'm doing this. Ignorantly. I didn't know God was bringing Gentiles in. I didn't know that. I forgot that he said, go ye into all the world and teach all nations. God said, that's why I got to give you a dream. I got to give you a dream to get it through your thick head. God was doing a new thing by bringing Gentiles together into the local church, and Peter, along with others, were unaware of it and not ready for it. They didn't want the Gentiles in the church because they thought this was something unique for the Jews only. By the way, Jesus Christ is the Savior of all who will receive him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. John chapter 10, verse 16, Jesus said this, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, speaking of Gentiles. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Galatians chapter 3, if you're still there, turn over to verse number 28. Notice what he says in verse 28. There is neither Jew, matter of fact, in verse number 27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. What is he saying? I broke down that middle wall of partition that was between the Jew and the Gentile. Ephesians 2, verse 14 says this way, for he is our peace who hath made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh enmity, even the law of the commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Ultimately, what Peter was guilty of was religious pride and religious prejudice, and it marked in his life. Why was he that way? Their laws were different. Their diets were different. Their calendars were different. Most of all, their God was different, and so he thought they were supposed to stay separated. Peter was prejudiced based on his religious beliefs that the Jews were to stay away from the Gentiles to be pleasing to God and to be followers of the law. Why was Peter that way? Number one, because it was commanded. But number two, they thought it was contagious. Every time they got around the Gentiles, you know what happened to the Jews? They fell into sin. They fell into sin. What's the parallel? You go into a room full of sinners, and they're doing sin. The natural inclination for you is to do what? Sin. Get involved with what they're doing. The natural inclination is to do what they do because I see what they do, and it must not be that bad what they do, and so I'll do what they do even though I'm not of them. I tell my children all the time, you don't do that. Why? We're Christians, number one. We're Dawson's, number two. Dawson's don't do that. Christians don't do that either. Amen? Well, look at the Joneses. Are we Joneses? Last time I checked, we were Dawson's and Christians. So I don't care what the Joneses do. I don't care what the Jacksons do. I don't care what the Jones, I don't care what any of them do. We care what God does, and we care what Dawson's do. Say, why Dawson? Dawson, we have a little bit different standards on how you may have. My children know about those. Joshua said, he said, he does. He just said, not so, Lord. Amen. So Peter had this prejudice. He had this difference. And because they were different, they had this mentality. We're always compromising with the Gentiles. We just need to stay away from them. When God came to him about reaching these Gentiles, he said, not so in Lord, thinking he was doing right, doing God a favor by staying pure. And that was not the case at all. Well, Lord, I can't do this because that's going to make me impure. He said, no, it's not about that. I didn't ask you to do what they're doing. I'm asking you this for a reason. I'm making a point. I want you to reach those people because they're lost. If we want to respond properly in lordship, and if we don't want to fall into the same trap that Peter did by saying, not so in Lord. And at the same time, when it comes to reaching people and receiving instructions from our Lord, let me give you a few tips here. This won't take long. Because you got to think about this. God is trying to reach a people by giving Peter instructions. He said, I want you to receive my instructions so you can reach the people. But Peter says, not so, and Lord, because he's thinking, if I do this, I'll be defiled. If I do this, I'll be corrupted. If I do this, I'll be contagious. If I do this, I'll catch what they have. By the way, Peter already caught what they have. You know what it's called? Sin. It's a disease that everybody has. And by the way, if you're going to rescue someone that's diseased with sin, you've got to recognize, first of all, you have the disease, but you also have the cure. Amen. And that cure is deliverance by Jesus Christ. I look at someone else and you've got the same disease that I got, amen. The only difference, I'm saved by the grace of God. The difference between you, you're still with that contagious disease called sin. And you'll pass it to your children and you'll pass it to their children's children and it will go on and on. The only cure for sin is Jesus Christ. So you and I are going to reach the world for Jesus Christ. And not say, not so, Lord. Because we won't always have the luxury of reaching people that are just like us. We're going to have to go outside the box when God calls us to a people not like us. What are we going to do? Are we going to respond like Peter and say, not so, Lord, because I've never talked to a white person. Not so, Lord, I've never talked to a black person. Not so, Lord, I've never talked to a person with tattoos. Not so, Lord, I've never talked to a person with earrings. Not so, Lord, I've never talked to this kind of person. Not so, Lord, I've never talked to a drug addict. Not so, Lord, I've never talked to a person on drugs. Not so, Lord, I've never talked to a white beater. Not so, Lord, I've never talked to a man that's a bum. Never, not so, Lord, because I've never. Is that what we're going to do? Or we're going to go to them? We're all guilty of it. We look at people and we size them up. And we judge them as unfit to give them our gospel. And it's never been your gospel. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're going to go into the lion's den of sin. Give you four quick things that you and I need to keep in mind so that we don't say what Peter said. Number one, avoid isolation. Avoid isolation. We can't avoid people like Peter thought. Peter said, let's just stay with, let Jews just stay right here. And everybody, if that's not a Jew store, we don't go. If it's not been blessed and kosher, we don't go there. We don't go there. We don't go there. We don't go there. Avoid isolation. No man liveth unto himself, no man dieth unto himself. Don't avoid isolation. Jesus saved you and I to get out there. Avoid isolation. Jesus left us with a command to circulate, not isolate. Amen. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. He said, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria. The Samaritans were not like the Jews. He said, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. In the uttermost parts of the earth, they were not like the Jews. They were not like the Samaritans. He said, look, this is what I want you to do. Avoid isolation. Circulate. Don't isolate. Get the message out. Isaiah said, here am I, send me. Peter said, not so, Lord. Avoid isolation, number one. Imagine if every person practiced isolation with you when it came to sharing the gospel. You'd still be lost. If everybody practiced isolation and said, well, I'm not going to tell anybody. I'll just keep it all to myself. When he said, it is for the whole world, for God so loved the what? The world that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Where perish? Perish in hell. But have everlasting life. He will live forever. She will live forever. She will not go to hell. He will not go to hell. Jesus Christ died to free us from hell. Amen. Number one, avoid isolation. Number two, practice separation. Practice separation. Go to 2 Corinthians with me, chapter number 6. Avoid isolation, number one. If we're going to go and do what God has called us to do like Peter and not say, not so, Lord, we've got to avoid isolation. But then number two, practice separation. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and notice verse 14 says here. It says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. In other words, don't be in a relationship with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? He said, what agreement do they have? And what communion hath light with darkness? What agreement does light have with darkness? When one comes in, the other one goes out. And what concord hath Christ with Belial? None. Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel, unbeliever? None. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? None. For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Notice this, verse 17. Wherefore, as a result of what I just said about there being no agreement with light and darkness and the devil and Christ, and with there being no agreement with all these other things, he says, wherefore, as a result of what I just said, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and will be a father unto you. Ye shall be my sons and daughters with the Lord, saith the Lord Almighty. What is he saying here? Practice separation. Come out from among them in lifestyle, not life. Amen. He said, don't do what they do, although you got to be amongst them. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. He said, they may practice sin, but don't you practice sin. Amen. That's exactly what he's saying. Hey, you've got to be amongst people if you're going to work. You've got to be amongst people if you're going to go to school. You've got to be amongst people if you're going to go to the grocery store. You've got to be amongst people if you're going to do anything in this world. He says, separate yourself. Come out from among them in lifestyle, but not in life. He said, love not the world, neither things that are in the world. For all is in the world, lust of flesh, lust of eyes, the pride of life. Now the Father will love the world, and the world passeth away. What am I saying here? Avoid isolation. Practice separation. Don't do as they do. Be different. Be salt in a dark, in a unsavory world. Be light in a dark world. Philippians 2:15, he said, among whom ye shine is light. What are you saying? He's saying, as you go and you mix with people and you traverse with people, you don't have to do what they do. You don't have to drink what they drink. You don't have to eat what they eat. You don't have to touch what they touch. As you mingle amongst people, you don't have to do what they're doing. You don't have to smoke what they smoke or drink what they drink or say what they drink. Say, oh, as you mingle with people, don't trip yourself, amen? As you go around with people, you don't have to be like them. I'm in the middle of all of you, but I don't have to do anything that any of you are doing. Why? I'm shining as a light. I'm being different. I'm being salt. I'm being light. I'm coming out from among them. I'm being separate, saith the Lord. I'm touching not the unclean thing, but I'm offering you a very clean thing, the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, you don't have to worry about that. Come out from among them. Be separate in lifestyle, but not in life. Avoid isolation. Practice separation. Number three. If I'm going to avoid isolation and practice separation, then I've got to wear some insulation. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Why do we put on more clothing in the cold? Joshua came downstairs the other day in a turtleneck. What happened? The temperature dropped to 56 out there in Vail. I opened up all the windows and doors. And the wind came through, felt like Green Bay to somebody in Arizona. And the temperature in the house began to drop. And all the kids woke up. I was up at 5 o'clock. I said, woo, 56 degrees. It gets some fresh air. Whop, opened up everything. The curtains was blowing in the wind. Boy, I said, whoa. My hands got cold. I said, whoa. Ah, that's fresh. Joshua came down the turtleneck, pulled all the way up here. Son, what's going on? It's just cold. G2 put the garbage out that night. It's cold. It's in the 50s. They were cold. You know what they needed? Insulation. Why do we put more clothing on in the cold? Insulation. Why do we put on long johns in the cold? Insulation. Why did Joshua put a turtleneck on? Insulation. Why do we put more padding on the pipes in the cold? Insulation, which equals what? Protection. Protection. Hey, if I'm going to avoid isolation, and if I'm going to practice separation and go in where the sinners are, I've got to have insulation. The Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I can be with them. I can look at them. I can talk to them, and I don't have to do what they do. Well, what's got to be guarded? My heart's got to be guarded. Because if your heart is left unguarded, it will take what they have for you. That's what happened to Israel every time. And that's why they had those laws that Peter's talking about right now. I've never done that. I've never gone amongst those people. I've never eaten these things. I've never been like that. But he said, but now I want you to go. So have some insulation. Practice separation. Avoid isolation. You've got to get in there where they're at. Got to smell like a sinner to get a sinner saved. Amen. I found it interesting. Every time I go fishing, you know what I come home smelling like? Fish water. Every time I went to the club, you know what I came home smelling like? Cigarettes and alcohol. I got saved out of that. And guess what? I don't have to smell like anymore. Those things. Why? I'm not doing what they're doing. What am I saying here? We got to have on some insulation. Insulation. Psalm 119 says this in verse 9. Wherewithal shall the young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. What do you say? Protect thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I got to have on insulation. If I don't guard my heart with the word of God, I'm going to be tempted. Jesus was tempted 3 times by Satan. You know what he came back with every time? Come on, let's box. All right, ninja. Wah. These are godly nunchucks from heaven. Let's get in the arm wrestling match, Satan. You know what Jesus came back with three times? It is written. He said, it is written. Man shall not live by bread alone. It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord, and him shalt thou serve. He came back with the word of God every time. If you and I are going to have insulation, we have got to be insulated with the word of God. Nothing else will do. The armor of flesh will fail you. Put on the whole armor of God to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Why? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness, world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You cannot fight a spirit with your flesh. He will slap you upside your natural head. Amen. Because you can't see him. He'll slap you from behind. What? You turn around. He'll slap you again. What? You turn around again. What? You'll be like, who's wrong with me? You look like a crazy person. A lot of Christians look like crazy people. Mad at the wrong enemy, shooting at each other. Take that. When the enemy popping upside your head. Spiritual enemies got to be fought with spiritual weapons. What do we need when we go into this world? Insulation. We need protection. And it's the word of God. Then lastly, exercise cooperation. Go to Acts chapter number 9. We'll close with this. Acts chapter 9. Ironically, this is the chapter previous to Peter's chapter. Avoid isolation, number one. We can't avoid people. Practice separation. Come out from among them in lifestyle, not life. Have and wear insulation. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And number four, exercise cooperation. Come up to Acts chapter number 9. This is when Saul of Tarsus gets saved. And when Saul of Tarsus gets saved on the road to Damascus, somebody's got to go to him. And who in their right mind wants to go to a Christian killer? Imagine if somebody said, I need you to go over and talk to this Christian killer. He specializes in killing Christians. Here are they, Lord, send them. We take one giant step backwards. He's known as being a Christian killer. He's known for being a father taker. He's known as being a child in prisoner. He's known for doing these things all religiously and ignorantly because he doesn't know God. And he needs somebody that does know God to come in. That's going to avoid isolation. But that's going to practice separation. Who's going to have some insulation and is going to exercise some cooperation with God Almighty, because God uses people to get people saved. Notice Acts chapter 9 and verse number 10. There was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said who? The Lord in a vision. Ananias. And he said, behold, notice that I am here, Lord. What did Isaiah say? Here am I, send me. What did Peter say? Not so, Lord. He says, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. And seeing in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. And Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. You know, he said, Lord, he's a Christian killer. I've heard about this man. And you want me to go to him? Verse 14. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind on all that call on thy name. You know what Ananias said? And I call on thy name. And you're sending me to him. And I'm going to have to tell him, thy name and my name will be mud. But the Lord said unto him, I like that. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he's a chosen vessel unto me. Bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. So we see Ananias here. He got the call and he said, I am here, Lord. He had some concern. Lord, he's done evil to your saints. But then notice the cooperation. Verse 17, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house and put his hands on him. Not only hands that I would think about putting on him is around his neck. Put his hands on him and said, brother Saul. He called him brother. I'd have called him enemy. The Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me. that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. What am I saying? He avoided isolation. He practiced separation. He wore his insulation and he exercised cooperation. He answered the call. He voiced his concern when he says, Lord, I want to cooperate. I know what this man has done, but if you said go, I'm gone. Hey, God may call you to go to somebody that you don't necessarily want to go to, but be like Ananias. Don't say not so, Lord, for I've never. This may be the first time that God's called you to do it. Guess what? If Ananias had not answered the call, there would be no Apostle Paul. There would not be all the New Testament books that Paul wrote to the churches. There would not be the great doctrines of the faith that you and I hold, have, and love if somebody hadn't cooperated. Hey, folks, we can't get involved in isolation. We can't be like Peter. But we do need to practice separation. We've got to be wise when we go. We can't just go in there and dress like them and look like them and talk like them. We've got to be different. By the way, people recognize when somebody's different from them. Amen. And wear insulation. We got to keep our hearts with all diligence out of the issues. I've got to have a ready arsenal of the word of God to answer the devil, just like Jesus when he said, it is written, it is written, it is written. And then practice cooperation, exercise cooperation. Get in there and get involved. My question to you is, what area in your life today are you saying not so and Lord at the same time? Maybe it's about being saved. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Have you received Christ today? Maybe it's about church membership. Well, that's unfamiliar to me. Not so, Lord. Maybe it's baptism. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them. Well, not so, Lord. Maybe it's forgiving someone. Not so, Lord. Maybe it's being bitter against someone. Not so, Lord. Maybe there's something that God is asking you to do, and to you it seems unfamiliar, it seems hard, it seems difficult, but perhaps God just wants you to stop being ignorant, get in his word, see that it is so, and say, here am I, Lord, use me, send me, do whatever you want, because God is wanting to use you, and he's wanting to use me, just like he used Peter, and just like he used Ananias. Now, was Peter religious at first? Yes. Was he ignorant at first? Yes. But guess what? When he got educated, he went and he saw a great moving of God. Let's see a great moving of God by doing what God would have us to do. If you're here today without Jesus Christ, we want to take a Bible and show you how you can be saved the Bible way. God loves you. Jesus died for you, was buried and rose again. You must be saved. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, and we're looking around. Just for a moment, if you're here today and you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's a blessing and that's an encouragement. But perhaps today there's a doubt in your mind and you're not sure, but you want to make sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior. Let me encourage you. Let us take a Bible and show you how you can be sure that you're on your way to heaven. Jesus came to die for you. God sent his only begotten Son for you. He wants you to be sure that you're on your way to heaven. If you're not sure, let us take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. We'll have an invitation in just a moment. But heads are bowed and eyes are closed, no one looking around. If you're not sure that heaven is your home, but you want to make sure, would you raise your hand so I can pray for you? I won't call you out and pick you out. Amen. I see one. I see two. I see three. Amen. You may put them down. Anyone? Four. Amen. Anyone else? Say, I'm not sure, but I want to be sure. We want to help you. We want to take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. I won't call you out, won't pick you out. I see several hands raised already. Anyone else? Christians, don't be like Peter. Don't say not so and Lord. Show someone else how to be saved. Let's make sure that we're following Christ. Father, bless this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Miss Natasha is going to begin playing a hymn. If you raise your hand, you want to be sure. Why don't you come? Let us take a Bible and show you how you can be sure you're saved. Don't hesitate. Don't wait. Come on. Christians are praying. Pastor, why don't you come and help? Get Brother Hall. Thank you, Gabe. Pastor White. Miss Dawson. Pastor White's going to talk. God loves you. God wants to save you. God is interested in people. God loves people. Jesus died for people. But you know, you and I can get so caught up in our own world that we forget that there's a lost world out there. We can get so isolated. We get so caught up with ourselves and what we want to do. And we forget. We forget. And avoid isolation. We need to practice separation, have some insulation, exercise cooperation. I'm so glad someone came to get me. Hey, when someone came to get me, I was doing drugs. I was drinking. I had filthy mouth. Wasn't loving my wife. And someone didn't practice isolation with me. They came to me. They said, you need Jesus, son. You must be born again. Oh, they practiced separation. They didn't do what I did. But they had some insulation. They began to tell me the word of God. And they exercised cooperation. They worked with God to help me to get saved. What about you today? God loves you and God wants to save you today. Christian, don't avoid. Don't isolate. Circulate. Don't separate. Participate. Make sure you're insulated. Make sure you have some cooperation. Oh, the world is attractive. The Bible says, love not the world, neither things are in the world. Love not the world. Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your goodness. Oh, Lord, thank you for the example of Peter. Lord, we've all been there before. We've all said, not so, and Lord, about something. But thank you, Lord, that you're a patient God. A faithful God. You said a time of ignorance you winked at, but now you command all men everywhere to repent. Lord, help us to change our mind, change our hearts, change our direction. And I pray, Lord, you work, giving us exactly what we need. Thank you for being a great God. Thank you for saving me. Oh God, help me never to isolate, but help me always to participate. But separate and lifestyle, not life. Insulate before I go. Keep my heart with all diligence. Then, Lord, exercise cooperation. We've got to be among them to give them the gospel. But we don't have to do what they do. Thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Give these that have raised their hand, believing faith, to trust Christ as Savior. Allow them to step out by faith, trust Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, that they might be saved. Thank you for loving us. Meet our need now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.